Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. So today we're reading from the Srimad Bhagavatam. This is the first canto, chapter 10, text number 25. And we could title this class as Satyamritam, which actually means, it's a very interesting word, truth, positive. So let's get into the verse. Yada hi adharmena tamodiyo nripa. Yada hi adharmena tamodiyo nripa. Jivanti chatraisa hi satvata kila. Jivanti chatraisa hi satvata kila. Tate bhagam satyam ritam dayam yaso. Tate bhagam satyam ritam dayam yaso. Bhavaya rupani dadhar yuge yuge. Bhavaya rupani dadhar yuge yuge. Yadahi adharmena tamo diyo nripa. Jivanti tatraisa hi satvataha kila. Tate bhagam satyamritam dayam yaso. Bhavaya rupani dadhar yuge yuge. Yada hi adharmena tamo diya nripa. Jivanti tatraisa hi satvataha kila. Tate bhagam satyam ritam dayam yaso. Bhavaya rupani dadhar yuge yuge. Tame vagam satyamitam dayam yaso. Tane tane satyam me guge. Yadahi dharmena tamo diyo nipa. Jivanti tratai sahi satvata kila. Tate bhagam satyam ritam dayam yaso. Bhavai Rupani Dadada Yuge Yuge. Vaishnavis. Adadhi Dharmena Tamodiyo Nipa. Tanti Masan Santa Sakyana Nipa. Dharma Sam Satyam Dharma Dharma Sibo. Bhavaya Rupani Dadad Yuge Yuge. Yada, whenever, he, assuredly, adharmena, against the principles of God's will, tamadiyaha, persons in the lowest material modes, nipa, kings and administrators, Jivanti, live like animals. Tatra, thereupon. Esha, he only. Sattvataha, transcendental. Kila, certainly. Date, is manifested. Bhagam, supreme power. Satyam, truth. Ritam, positiveness. Dayam, mercy. Yasaha, wonderful activities. Bhavaya, for the maintenance. Rupani, in various forms. Dadat, manifesting. Yuge, different periods. Yuge, and ages. Translation. Whenever there are kings and administrators living like animals in the lowest modes of existence, the Lord in his transcendental form manifests his supreme power, the truth positive. Shows special mercy to the faithful and performs wonderful activities. He thus manifests various transcendental forms in different periods and ages as necessary. Please repeat. Whenever there are kings and administrators living like animals in the lowest modes of existence, the Lord in his transcendental form manifests his supreme power, the truth positive. Shows special mercy to the faithful and performs wonderful activities. He thus manifests various transcendental forms in different periods and ages as necessary. Purport. As mentioned above, the cosmic creation is the property of the Supreme Lord. This is the basic philosophy of Ishopanishad. Everything is the property of the Supreme Being. No one should encroach upon the property of the Supreme Lord. One should accept only what is kindly awarded by Him. Therefore, the earth or any other planet or universe is the absolute property of the Lord. The living beings are certainly his parts and parcels or sons, and thus every one of them has the right to live at the mercy of the Lord to execute his prescribed work. No one, therefore, can encroach upon the right of another individual man or animal without being so sanctioned by the Lord. Oh, what happened here? I hit the wrong thing, sorry. This is a sneak preview. Okay. The king or the administrator is a representative of the Lord to look after the management of the Lord's will. He must therefore be a recognized person like Maharaj Yudhisthira or Parikshit. Such kings have full responsibility and knowledge from authorities about the administration of the world. But at times, due to the influence of the ignorant mode of material nature, tamoguna, the lowest of the material modes, kings and administrators come into power without knowledge and responsibility. And such foolish administrators live like animals for the sake of their own personal interest. The result is that the whole atmosphere becomes surcharged with anarchy and vicious elements, nepotism, bribery, cheating, aggression, and therefore famine, epidemic, war, and similar other disturbing features become prominent in human society. And the devotees of the Lord, or the faithful, are persecuted by all means. All these symptoms include the time of an incarnation of the Lord to reestablish the principles of religion and to vanquish the maladministrators. This is also confirmed in the Bhagavad Gita. The Lord then appears in His transcendental form without any tinge of material qualities. He descends just to keep the state of His creation in a normal condition. The normal condition is that the Lord has provided each and every planet with all the needs of the native living beings. They can happily live and execute their predestined occupations to attain salvation at the end, following the rules and regulations mentioned in the revealed scriptures. The material world is created to satisfy the whims of the Nityabhadas, or everlastingly conditioned souls. Just as naughty boys are provided with plain cradles. Otherwise, there was no need of the material world. But when they become intoxicated with power of material science to exploit the resources unlawfully without the sanction of the Lord, and that also only for sense gratification, there is necessity of the Lord's incarnation to chastise the rebellious and to protect the faithful. When he descends, he exhibits superhuman acts just to prove his supreme right. And materialists like Ravana, Hiranyakashipu, and Kamsa are sufficiently punished. He acts in a manner which no one can imitate. For example, the Lord, when he appeared as Ram, bridged the Indian Ocean. When he appeared as Krishna from his very childhood, he showed superhuman activities by killing Putana, Agasura, Sakatasura, Kaliya, etc. And then his maternal uncle, Kamsa. When he was at Dwarka, he married 16,108 queens, and all of them are blessed with a sufficient number of children. The sum total of his personal family members amounted to about 10 million, popularly known as the Yadu Vamsa. And again, during his lifetime, he managed to vanquish them all. He is famous as the Govardhan Dari Hari because he lifted at the age of only 7 the hill known as Govardhan. The Lord killed many undesirable kings in his time, and as a Kshatriya, he fought chivalrously. He is famous as Asamordva, unparalleled. No one is equal to or greater than him. Jai. Om Gyanati Mananda Shyakin Anjana Salakya Chakshus Ulmanitamina Tasmai Sri Gurvay Namaha Sri Chaitanya Mano Bistam Svapitamina Bhutale Swayam Upagadamayam Dadati Swapadantikam Jai Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Srivasari Gaur Bhaktivinoda Hare Krishna 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 Hare Hare Hari Rama, Hari Rama, Rama Rama, Hari Hari. Vanchakopa Tubhischa Kripasindubhivcha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha. So the verse again. Wherever there are kings and administrators living like animals in the lowest modes of existence, the Lord in His transcendental form manifests His supreme power, the truth positive, shows special mercy to the faithful, and performs wonderful activities. He thus manifests various transcendental forms in different periods and ages as necessary. So this is a very descriptive purport, isn't it? So I thought it would be nice to have a visual of some of the things Srila Prabhupada is talking about. So all throughout the purport here, I put some links here to the different sections. So here, Ishopanishad, Prabhupada refers to that. And we could go directly to that verse that Srila Prabhupada is referring to in the Ishopanishad. We could chant that together if you like. Ishvasyam idam sarvam yat kinchat jagat jam jagat tena tak tena bujiha mahagandha dasyasvitanam. Everything animate or inanimate that is within the universe is controlled and owned by the Lord. One should therefore accept only those things necessary for himself, which are set aside as his quota, and one should not accept other things, knowing well to whom they belong. So there's a short section in the purport. Srila Prabhupada talks about how Krishna is the proprietor of everything and how it's confirmed in the Bhagavad Gita, where he says para and apara prakriti. They're both his energies, and he's in charge of both of them. So Prabhupada says in one of the paragraphs here, in modern society, there's always a great quarrel between the laborers and the capitalists. This quarrel has taken an international shape, and the world is in danger. Men face one another in enmity and snarl, just like cats and dogs. Sri Ishopanishad cannot give advice to the cats and dogs, but he can deliver the message of Godhead to man through a bona fide acharya, holy teachers. Thus, the human race should take the Vedic wisdom of Sri Ishopanishad and not quarrel over material possessions. One must be satisfied with whatever privileges are given him by the mercy of the Lord. There can be no peace in the communists or capitalists or any other party claims proprietorship over the resources of nature, which are entirely the property of the Lord. So Prabhupada goes on and on talking about this. And there's another, he ends with this last paragraph. Human beings are not meant to quarrel like cats and dogs. They must be intelligent enough to realize the importance and aim of human life. The Vedic literature is meant for humanity and not for cats and dogs. Cats and dogs can kill other animals for food without incurring sin. But if a man kills an animal for the satisfaction of his uncontrolled taste buds, he is responsible for breaking the laws of nature. Consequently, he must be punished. Okay, so if we go up to the purport again. So your Prabhupada here quotes that the universe is the absolute property of the Lord. In the purport there. So we'll go to that. So here we see Krishna, the supreme personality of Godhead. He is the control of everything as we've seen. So here's the visual to show. So this is in the purport, like it says. Therefore, the earth or any other planet, universe, is the absolute property of the Lord. And we're all His parts and parcels, sons, and we all have the right to live at the mercy of the Lord and execute our prescribed duties and don't encroach on the rights of others without being sanctioned by the Lord. So then we go to the next purport here. So Prabhupada refers to here in the purport, he said we must therefore recognize persons like Maharaj Yudhisthira. And we just finished discussing the qualities and the great saintly nature of King Yudhisthira, how he was so concerned about the citizens that he loved them like a father. And this is the proper way to rule. A king should be concerned for everyone in his kingdom, not just himself. So Prabhupada says that they look after the man. These kings and administrators, they represent the Lord, and they look after the management of the Lord's will. So our will should be aligned with Krishna's will. Right? We're one in quality with Krishna. We should also be one in mind, one in desire, one in will and purpose with the Lord. And these are what the kings and administrators are meant to actually make sure that that happens. So let's go back here. And then he talks about Parikshit Maharaj. And here we have Parikshit Maharaj representing the will of the Lord. Doesn't tolerate nonsense or someone encroaching on the rights of another person. Not just another person, but even any other living entity. So we see the personification of Kali was beating a cow. And then he discovered this and was going to eliminate him. But because it was his time and it was his, I guess you could say, dharma. It was his job. It was his occupation. So he allowed for him to have certain places where he could perform his job. So, anyway. And then, here he talks, in the purport, he talks about sometimes, due to the influence of ignorance, you go into the mode of tamogun. And here we are. Tamogun. You can see the three modes. So, here is Prabhupada calls them the foolish administrators. They live like animals for their own personal interest. But they don't realize that this verse in the Bhagavad Gita, 327, Prakriti Kriyamanani Gunai Karmani Savishaha Ahankara Vimudha Vartataham Iti Manyate, that they falsely think that they're independent, but actually they're completely under the clutches of Maya. And this is where we're acting under these different modes, like puppets being controlled with a string. So therefore, here we think we're independent, but we're just under the influence of Maya. This is what's going on. So I think we finished with that purport. Yeah. So go to the next purport. And here, Prabhupada talks about all these disturbing elements, nepotism, bribery, cheating, all these things. Nepotism means like putting people unqualified in positions, right? Something like that. And this is what we see happening today. So here's all the disturbing elements that we see. The whole atmosphere becomes surcharged with these things. So you can see the person has a decision. You can either discriminate on how to act properly, positively, or how to act improperly, negatively. You see. And if you can decide, you can see the symptoms of what happens either way. And so what happens, people decide negatively, then it turns into chaos. People are just in a mode of ignorance, living like animals, as Prabhupada described. But, you know, if we take the decision towards light, or try to act positively without discrimination, then we can actually become enlightened and fulfill the purpose of human life, which is the purpose of the creation. Okay? So we can see the decision we had. Originally, we made the mistake of looking away from Krishna, ignoring Krishna, wanting to become Krishna, wanting to enjoy like Krishna. So Krishna created this situation where we can come and supposedly enjoy, but we're just actually experience death over and over again and suffer in the material world. So this is happening. So here, in the purport, Prabhupada refers to that the maladministrators will be vanquished. And this is the showing that where Krishna comes himself and he destroys all the unwanted burden on the earth. And then we also see here comes is Parshuram. And the maladministrators, the Kshatriyas, were very demoniac, so Krishna comes in different incarnations to just completely wipe them out with his chopper, completely finished. So Prabhupada in the purport also, he says, this is also confirmed in the Bhagavad Gita. So here's the verse the Prabhupada is referring to. Actually, there's two verses, but we'll chant this one if you want together. Yada yada hi dharmasya glanir bhavati bharata abhutanam adharmasya tadadmanam sujami aham. That whenever and wherever there's a decline in irreligious practice, or descendant of Bharata, and a predominant rise of irreligion, at that time I descend myself. So there's a very nice purport in the Bhagavad Gita. He talks about that. That Krishna comes. He has no obligation. But he comes completely at his own free will. Why? Just to please the devotees, protect the devotees. When things go bad, he comes. And then the next verse, 8. Pratinaya sadamunanam vinasaya chaduskritam dharma samstapanartaya sambhavami yuge yuge. That to deliver the pious and annihilate the miscreants, as well as to reestablish the principles of religion, I myself appear millennium after millennium. So here Prabhupada describes in the purport how the Duskritinam, they don't care for Krishna, nor do they want to become Krishna conscious. Even though they may be decorated with great education, great looks, so many things, but actually they're considered to be uncultured, and they're actually like animals. So here we have the decision again. So Prabhupada says that if they follow the rules and regulations, then of the real scriptures, they will happily live. So here, many have probably seen this. I know where this is from. But we can speculate what's right, what's wrong. This is a view from the Matrix where Morpheus says you have a choice between the red pill and the blue pill. If you take the blue pill, the story ends here. You wake and you'll just wake in your bed and you could believe whatever you want. But if you take the red pill, then that's where he will give you the truth. So here he says that you'll end up in Wonderland if you take the red pill. So this is a decision we have to make between what Prabhupada says, satyam ritam, truth positive. So we're actually given a similar choice. You know, in this world, we can choose truth, positivity, or negativity. This is our decision. Actually, it's interesting when I found this particular picture. There's many other, I didn't know this, but there's other, the Christians are using this to bring their points across. And the Buddhists are actually using this to bring their points across about decisions that we make in this world. So there was a study done that people, if they were given a choice, do you want truth or do you want happiness? So they found out that people that were in bad moods or not happy, they would definitely choose, you know, to be happy instead of truth. But you find people that were in a good mood, that were positive, they chose that they want the truth. But they don't realize that actually, that if you live according to religious principles, you'll get the intelligence to understand what is the truth, and you'll be able to be in a good mood automatically and choose the truth. So here we have Bhagavad Gita, same thing. Here's a verse that while contemplating the objects of the senses, a person develops attachment for them, and from such attachment, lust develops, and from lust, anger arises. And then from anger, complete delusion arises, and from delusion, bewilderment of memory, and when memory is bewildered, the intelligence is lost, and one falls down again into the material pool. So you can see this is the decisions that we make. So here, Prabhupada mentions that if we follow the principles, the codes of religion, and that's how we act, then we're endowed with discrimination to choose between positive and negative. That is real intelligence. So we're utilizing the mercy of the Lord to transform negativity into positivity. Otherwise, if we don't follow the rules of the Shastra, then we're stooped to the mode of ignorance. And nothing good can come from there. So that's where we lose our discrimination of what is positive, what is negative, what is sat, what is eternal, what is real, or what is asat, temporary or false. Otherwise, we get what Prabhupada calls tamodiya. What is that? Intelligence in ignorance. This is intelligence in ignorance. So, Prabhupada mentions in the purport that these material scientists, they become intoxicated and they exploit the resources unlawfully without the sanction of the Lord. And they defy the Lord. So therefore the Lord comes to chastise them. Here we have the two decisions again being made. So Prabhupada mentioned that creation is for the goodwill of the living entity. If they misuse it by not following the rules and regulations, then they'll live like animals. And others will also be dragged into this destruction. And good, this good, cannot be counteracted or balanced by doing something positive. Its only balance is created by spiritual interference. And this is why Krishna comes. So evil is counteracted transcendentally only. Can only counteract it transcendentally. So we see even our so-called superheroes, these are represented by our own endeavors, our speculations. They cannot counteract. Actually, there's an Indian government slogan. What do they say? Sattvam eva jayate. That, you know, everything will come out triumphant. We just have to try for it. But they foolishly propagate their own false theories. So here, you know, we see that they try to come up with their own plans and foolish activities. But Krishna, he's the one that has to intervene. And he's the one that displays superhuman, supreme power. You know. And not only that, but he gives the supreme benediction when he sets things right. So as mentioned in the purport, Prabhupada talks about all these different activities of Krishna. The superhero. We have Ravana, who's a great demon. And, you know, Ram displayed so many times his supremacy, wiped out his army, built a bridge, so many different things. And yet still, he was so puffed up and arrogant that he still thought he has a chance. Even killed his most powerful, you know, brother, Kumbhakarna. So this is what happens. Krishna comes to display himself. And Prabhupada mentions Hiranyakashipu, greatest demon in the universe. But who can compare to Krishna coming as Lord Nrisimhadev? Then we have Kamsa. Prabhupada mentioned him in the purport. And no match to Krishna. Krishna just completely wipes him out. And here we have Lord Ram showing his displaying his superhuman activities, built a bridge across the ocean. You know, even after seeing that, Ravana is thinking, oh, who's this? And even as a child, a baby, what baby can kill a huge demon like this? Monster, witch, you know, baby killer. And this is Krishna displaying his superhuman activities to attract us. Also, Prabhupada mentioned Agasura, Kaliya, Krishna just effortlessly kills these great demons. I mean, look at this snake, can devour the whole village practically. Or Kaliya, just by the mere smell or the fumes emanating from his body, you know, birds just drop from the sky. So powerful. But yet Krishna comes and just dances very nicely. You know, his feet are so soft that the gopis are afraid, you know, that he's going to hurt his feet, even if they, you know, you know, like that. So here, Krishna's feet are like thunderbolts, though, killing Kaliya. And also, Prabhupada mentions other demons here throughout, etc., how Krishna shows his power, his supreme power. Nobody can compare to Krishna. And even Prabhupada mentions how he married 16,000 wives, had 16,108 to be exact. But not only marry them, but he created a whole city and had a special palace for each one. And had 10 children. They all had their own home. Narada Muni came to check it out. They're all doing different activities. Krishna expanded himself into all these forms. It's not like you can do mystically, and this, you know, yogis could do, that the expansions can only do the same thing. It's like a clone. But Krishna can do many different things in all his expansions. So Narada Muni is viewing this and seeing how Krishna provided for every one of them. These are superhuman activities. And then Prabhupada describes in the purport how actually he annihilated all of his family members. And it's through curses you see things happen. We actually come to the mature world and we just take part and enjoy the curses that are here. To be in the mature world is a curse. And you see all throughout the Bhagavatam, cursing, counter-cursing, so many different things going on, and we all get the effect. So we're coming in the mature world to experience that. So here, the children are mocking the sages. They're actually offending them. So they are cursed. That pillow within your womb, they ask the sages, "Oh, sage, can you tell us, will it be a boy or a girl?" And he said, "Yes, it'll be an iron club that'll destroy your entire dynasty." And they tried to take this club to the king. And he said, "Okay, just pulverize it and throw it in the ocean." But what happened? All those metal particles came into these rods, these bamboo rods, and this is when Krishna actually wiped out all the whole Yadu dynasty. Actually, all the demigods came from the heavenly planets to help Krishna in his pastimes, and anybody who dies in Dwarka, they will go back to the spiritual world. So Krishna had to make an arrangement where they would leave Dwarka and go to supposedly a holy place and perform some austerities or some penances. But here they drank this beverage, like an alcoholic beverage, and they all became intoxicated and they wiped each other out. And this is how they went back to their respective posts as demigods. And then Prabhupada mentions Govardhan Hill. As a child of 7 years old, he lifted an entire mountain with his left hand, with his finger, pinky finger of his left hand, for 7 days. So this is Krishna. Asamordva. Prabhupada describes the last word in the purport. Prabhupada very simply describes it as one without a second. No one is equal, or no one is above him. So this is Krishna. And he's doing this. He's lightening the world. He's, look, Krishna, no one is equal to him. He creates the spiritual world and he creates the material world. So we already have the activities of the spiritual world that are going on there. Actually, Lord Chaitanya descends, another avatar, to give us this opportunity to take up the principles of Krishna consciousness, chant the holy names of Krishna, which is another incarnation of Krishna, and be happy in this material world. And this is utilizing the mercy of the Lord to transform negativity to positivity. And so we're so grateful to Srila Prabhupada, who is this Satyamritam, the truth positive, the pure devotee, is actually the mercy manifestation of the Lord's mercy. And the devotees, they're grateful for the Lord's mercy manifestation. So Prabhupada says, with our lips, we should be chanting. With our ears, we should be hearing. And with our heart, we should be crying out for the Lord like a baby cries for his mother. So thank you very much. Any comments or questions?
I just, Gaudiya Prabhu, I just wanted to briefly mention something.
Yes.
We had a devotee, a Prabhupada disciple that passed away on Friday, Vamanajan Prabhu.
Oh.
And he was a devotee here in New Dwarka. Even in the early days, when Srila Prabhupada would come and visit to Los Angeles, he was here at that time. So he was gone for some time. Then he came back to New Dwarka here, and he was helping us in cooking for the buffet and for the deities. His wife was doing deity worship. So he did pass away on Friday, and we just wanted to remember him. A very nice devotee. He had a lot of bodily difficulties, maybe going back 10 years probably. So he was struggling. But anyway, we'd like to remember him as a very nice devotee. He did a lot of service for Rukmini Dwarkadisha and Srila Prabhupada's movement. So maybe we can chant the holy name on his behalf. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Jai, thank you. Okay, thank you for your kind attention. All glories to Srimad Bhagavatam, all glories to Srila Prabhupada.